Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now save $30 on the American-made Steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real Steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Top Mike with Huddy Withrow on the Outkick Network, streaming at outkick.com/watch. Chad, our guest joining us, former Stanford head coach, a name that you and I bring up whenever we mention commissioner of college football.
Yeah.
Now with NFL Network doing great things with the NFL draft coverage, which, of course, they will have live coming up on Thursday and then throughout the weekend. David Shaw joins us here on the program. Coach, good to be on with you, man. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, my pleasure. Happy to talk to you guys.
The lion in the background of this. Explain the reason for it. There's got to be an alpha quality to this.
Yeah, well, I'm in my car, so it's either looking through my back window or the lion. It's the only one I had left, and I had it left over from COVID, where I had probably 30 backgrounds. But I'm a Leo. I loved having the lion, so I always kept it, and it just came in handy.
There we go.
I love it. Hutton had mentioned you're a name that comes up with us for commissioner of college football. My question is, would the Pac-12 still exist if you were the commissioner of the Pac-12 instead of George Kliavikoff when all that went down?
I don't want to blame anybody because it was a series of ridiculous mistakes by a lot of different people that led to the dissolving of the Pac-12. I believe if there were few of us, if we were more involved in the process, especially starting back about 3 years ago, that we probably could have found a way. And it's more than just the commissioner, it's university presidents that really, I think, had a chance, but made some wrong steps along the way and led USC and UCLA to decisions that I don't blame them for anymore. I did at the time, but now I get it. The amount of money that we were passing up and the amount of money that they could have made, they had to jump ship, but the other 10 stayed together until they absolutely could not. So I don't want to just blame George. It was just a series of ridiculous, terrible mistakes that led to the dissolution of one of my favorite entities, which was the Pac-12 conference.
You know what we're saying, or whenever I say commissioner of college football here, instead of the commissioner of the SEC or the Big Ten, the czar. When you hear your name and that, what do you think?
I mean, it's really kind of special that people would even think of me that way. And that's what's part of my goal, is to do things all the time since I was young, to do things that make my parents proud. You know, that's what I'm always trying to do, try to appreciate the way that I was raised, faith-based, reason for making decisions, doing things that are right for people, and creating environments that are positive. So I really appreciate that, and I think that's awesome. But no way in hell would I touch this ridiculous mess that everybody has to deal with right now.
It does feel like you got out the right time, Coach, when you look at the state of college football right now. And you were around football and coaching and mentorship your whole life. You talked about your parents, your dad, Willie Shaw, longtime coach. Is it something you knew? You talked about wanting to make your parents proud. Was part of that getting into coaching to make them proud, or was it your father's influence that led you to coaching ultimately?
Absolutely, my father's influence. We had such a great time as kids, going to training camp, throwing the ball around, getting to know some of the football players back when he was coaching at Arizona State when I was a little kid, and getting to know Michael Richardson, Eric Allen, just some great players, and then going to the Lions, getting to know some of those guys when I was a kid. So I'm just being around it. I initially did not want to coach. I mean, all the way through graduation, I was going to do something else. I was going to do asset allocation. I was going to get into the financial world, but I got a phone call and I said, well, let me just try this thing out for a year. And the year has ended up being, you know, almost 30. I loved every minute of it. I did get out at the right time. I don't bash people for staying in it who love it. I think the way that I did what I did at Stanford was not going to be possible going forward, especially with the previous administration. But Stanford has a new president, new provost, new direction. And new people around the program. So hopefully they can get involved in the NIL space, which is vital. Hopefully they can utilize the transfer portal more so than we have in the past. So hopefully they can rebuild that program.
It's clear you want to continue coaching. You've interviewed for a handful of jobs across the league, including the Broncos twice. I know the Titans reached out to you. How close do you feel like you are to landing an NFL job?
That's a great question. And one I can't answer because it's all about who's making the hire. There are some people that would never hire me and some people that would. So I think it's for me to make sure I make the next best decision. I may still do something in the NFL, whether it's coaching or not. I may continue to do TV, especially leaning on the NFL side. I mean, I do want to get in the NFL world and stay in the NFL world. I've done, you know, gosh, 11 plus years of NFL Network drafts. Some people like the way I evaluate, so it could be something in personnel. So I'm open to a lot of different things. As I said, I'm not excited to get back into college football anytime soon. It just doesn't suit me. It suits other people. So yeah, I'm open to different jobs in the NFL, but I do believe I have the skill set. I have the mentality. I have the background to be a good NFL coach.
David Shaw with us. Who is the best overall football player in this draft?
Yeah, that's a tough one for me. There are about five guys at the top, but I can't convince myself that anybody's better than Caleb Williams. Everything that he's done, and there are some bad film, there's some bad plays on this year's draft, but I still this year's college football season, but I still understand what this young man was going through. They didn't have what they had last year. And when you're the best player, sometimes you try to do more than you should. And I saw that. I saw that he felt like he had to bring the team up. But you watch all the games this year, last year, when he took over as a true freshman at Oklahoma, the talent is special. You talk to his teammates. There's no arrogance. There's no brashness. They love him. They follow him. He's just a good kid. Now, there's a lot of stuff around him. There are a lot of things that people want to point to. Look at his fingernails. Look at all these things. When you're an NFL coach, you don't care. Will this guy step on the field, be a field general, make the plays that we want to teach him to make, but then also make the plays that no one else can make? And he can do both of those. So he's the best player. And I can't hesitate when I say that. There's other guys that are close that are really good, but there's nobody better.
And when you're a coach or GM and you're way more film dependent on everyone in the draft, you're going to watch them play football and evaluate them playing football. I am curious, though, Coach, is there a sliding scale on how you evaluate the quarterback position in terms of personality fit, leadership, off field, everything else? Because it does seem like the one position where all those things matter, maybe more than others.
Yeah, you do that for all positions to a certain degree. You want to make sure they have proper character that you're looking for, somebody who's not getting in trouble all the time, someone that actually listens when you coach, right? You look at those things. But absolutely, the quarterback, there's so much more because there's more put on him. You know, is he a quick learner? Or does it take him a while to understand concepts? Because in the NFL, you can have three really good games, and your fourth game, if you do the same thing, you will not have a good game. You have to be able to add to your scheme, tweak your scheme, make adjustments, and the quarterback's got to get it early in the week. He's got to figure it out the first day you put it in, and then you get reps on it and be ready to execute. So the quarterback's acumen, the quarterback's personality, yeah, you have a bunch of different personalities, but as long as that personality can fit within the construct of a team, some personalities very standoffish, but once the game starts, the quarterback is the coach's voice on the field. And you want to make sure that they fit. So, yeah, his personality matters, his acumen matters, his ability to lead on the field matters. There's only a few teams that don't huddle. The rest of them in the NFL, they huddle. And I always say this to quarterbacks, when you're a huddle team, like most NFL teams are, you got to step in the huddle like you own it. You got to step in the huddle and spit the play out like you know it. And you got to say it with confidence, because the way that you say it, those guys believe it or they don't believe it. So you have to have all those three when you're calling plays in the huddle. I believe Caleb has that, but that's part of what happens after the college season's done, after the NFL season's done, when you go through the combine and you go through the visits, and you go through all the every the former coaches, everything, you want to find out that coach, that quarterback has all those things you're looking for.
You coach with Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh coached J.J. McCarthy. J.J. McCarthy won a national title with Jim Harbaugh. I've seen some comps that say J.J. McCarthy is Jim Harbaugh as a quarterback in Jim Harbaugh's time in the NFL. What do you see when you turn on the tape and watch J.J. McCarthy?
Well, first of all, I do something that is not necessarily popular. I never give any position credit for winning a national championship. You know, I that sometimes it raises players above what their capabilities are, right? For years at Georgia, like, I didn't care. When you're an evaluator, you're just looking at the film. And when you look at JJ's film, you wish he threw the ball more, et cetera. But what I see, I really like. You know, I mean, I love his footwork. I love the accuracy. There are times where he's got to make, I mean, he hasn't thrown the ball in about five or six plays because he ran the ball, and he's got to step up on a 3rd-and-7 to make a big time throw, and he steps up and he makes it. There are times where he has to scramble and use his legs. He'll get you first downs. He'll scramble and make a guy miss in the open field and get down and protect himself. He'll roll to his left when he has to and make a great body throw, a throw that NFL guys can make. And so, like I said, like all guys started when they watched this thing, they said, gosh, you know, I wish there were more throws. I wish they leaned on him more. But when you just watch the film and you just watch the throws and you look at the situations, this kid's impressive.
Coach, Chad mentioned Harbaugh. So when the Chargers go on the clock, you're there. Are you going to say, let's say Alt is available or one of the three receivers, Harbaugh, does he go wide receiver or tackle?
Boy, that's a good question. That's a really good question, and one that might affect the Tennessee Titans.
Yep.
Joe Ortiz is the GM. We spent some time together in Baltimore, and everybody that's been in Baltimore knows the starting of the franchise in Baltimore was drafting Jonathan Ogden, right? It was setting the tone, setting the tempo that we're going to draft the best tackle in the draft and build the line and be physical. So I would not be surprised if they draft Alt. So I have a serious dilemma because that quarterback is special and he needs a special receiver. And one of those top three guys, if they're there, I would have a hard time passing him unless I was passing him for the top tight end in the draft. And I would think about that. So to me, those are the three things. If your top receiver's there, for me, it would take a hard to pass that guy up. I would love to draft the tight end. But I do know what they're building mentality-wise, attitude-wise. So, yeah, drafting Alt, who's a special tackle and a special guy and one that you know is not going to falter. If he's there, it'd be hard to pass him up.
So we're going to see Brock Bowers in the top 10 tomorrow night?
Is he top 10 worthy? Absolutely. I don't know that you do see him in the top 10. He might be at number 10.
Okay.
Because if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'm just kind of tiptoeing around the building saying, hey, you know what? That tight end looks pretty good for us, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. You know, I've got some receivers. They need help on the offensive line. But Aaron Rodgers, if he can stay healthy, that is a definite playoff team. And if you give him another guy that can work inside, and this tight end is special inside, I think he could make them even more of a contender. You see what the tight end position has done for Detroit, for San Francisco, for Kansas City. And I think you give Aaron Rodgers that weapon inside, that could be special. So I think the Jets are a viable option to take the superstar tight end, Brock Bowers.
Coach, you said something that jumped out to me, the identity picks. Certain franchises drafting a guy, and immediately you think, oh, that makes sense for that franchise. The Pittsburgh Steelers come to mind. When they draft someone, you can see Mike Tomlin in that draft pick. You coached in Baltimore. Same thing. Ravens draft someone. Oh, that makes sense for the Ravens. I would say that about you at Stanford. That's a Stanford guy when you watch them. That looks like a Stanford offensive lineman, or you name the position. Do you expect to see that with Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers a year or two from now, or five? Do you think we're going to be saying, oh, that's a Chargers Harbaugh guy. Is that what they're trying to build with that franchise?
That's why I think there's a possibility of them taking Alt. I think that would set the mentality and attitude for the team. And I know that's how Jim works. Knowing Joe Ortiz, and it's Joe's pick. I mean, Joe's going to talk to everybody. It's going to be collaborative with the ownership and management and coaches. But I would not be surprised if that was a mentality pick, like, hey, this is what we're doing. We're going to protect our quarterback with this tackle for the next 12 to 14 years. And that's our mentality and attitude. I love the second round wide receivers. So they could be saying, hey, you know what? We can get a top flight receiver in the second round. This is a mentality attitude pick. This is a franchise pick. You know, let's protect the quarterback's left side for the next decade.
A lot of discussion and chatter every year, but specifically today going into tomorrow about Jaden Daniels, whether or not the Raiders are calling or the Vikings trying to move up potentially because they have targeted him. Jaden Daniels, coach, he took his game to another level when he transferred. He was decisive. His leadership qualities were improved. His body language stood out. What qualities does he possess outside of just being the Heisman Trophy winner that would make teams clamor to move up and give up future picks in order to have him on the roster?
Yeah, so this kid's always been talented. We faced him when he was at Arizona State, and they beat us, and we didn't have an answer for him. He had a big-time throw on a third down where we almost got to him. He had a big-time run on a third down where I think he was probably a 25, 30-yard scramble. His athleticism, but you said the word for me that is a big change between Arizona State and him being the Heisman Trophy winner at LSU, and that's decisiveness. I mean, he makes quick decisions. The ball comes out really quick. He's throwing the ball accurately. He's moving in the pocket. He's escaping the pocket. He does a lot of those things that coaches love because they get us out of trouble. You know, we hate a quarterback that we have to call the perfect game.
Yeah.
You don't have to call the perfect game with Jaden Daniels. He'll throw the ball accurately away from defenders. When everybody's covered and it should be a sack, he'll turn it into a 10, 15, 20-yard game. That's what you see. And what I see with quarterbacks that I think the top two, Caleb and Jaden, have are the qualities that make the coordinator's job easier. They get out of trouble. They make bad plays into good plays, or they turn 0-yard gains into positive plays. And that's why I think these two guys are going high in the first round.
What am I missing on Michael Penix Jr. as to why he's not being mentioned with those top four quarterbacks or being in the mix with those guys?
I think Michael Penix agrees with you. He just sent a letter a couple days ago to all the GMs saying, hey, I've proven myself. I've stayed healthy for 2 years. I keep hearing all these things, you know, haven't I proven it to you? So I think I'm in your boat, right? Unless I'm a coach, unless the GM walks down to my office and says, hey, medically, he's off our board. If they don't say that to me, I have him up there with the top guys. Is he perfect? Absolutely not. He showed he can run in the 4.5. People say he throws a fastball only. I've had those guys before, and you can teach them how to have touch. I know how to do it, keeping their elbow up, you know, finishing their far pocket to get the ball to come up and down, how to throw with proper trajectory. I can teach that. I can't teach a guy to throw 50-yard bombs and hit guys in stride, which is what he does on a regular basis. So for me, he's up there with the top four guys. I think he's really, really good. I would not be surprised at all if he goes ahead of one of those guys that everybody's praising, or someone trades up somewhere in the first round to come get him, because every time I put on the film, and I have multiple times because I hear somebody say that he's a second rounder, I put the film back on again, and it's hard for me to sit down. Every game he throws three or four balls that maybe one or two guys, those top two guys in the first round, can throw. So I think somebody's going to get this young man, and they're going to be really happy.
If I told you it was the Broncos that drafted him and Sean Payton, what would your reaction be?
I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know that he's on their board. Sean, I think, has got a very specific thing he's looking for. But this guy, I mean, he could operate a West Coast offense. A couple things he needs to learn, right, to throw the ball down the middle of the field, you know, with a little bit more trajectory, a little bit more of a bow than a straight line. But I think he could operate that offense. I wouldn't be surprised if the teams that want to be run and play action, that would be, I think, ideal for him. to run the ball and have him pull the ball out and drop back and throw the ball 45 yards because he can do it on a dime.
You're with an NFL team at this moment. Well, how much discussion or how much debate is there with you and in the room about Drake May versus the other top guys not named Caleb Williams?
I have Drake May third behind those top two guys and really close to JJ. I'm really close to JJ. Unlike those top two guys, there are some things you question. You know, there's some decision-making, some accuracy. Is the talent there? Absolutely. You go back and watch last year's film, which is a little bit better than this year, I think, and you see it all. This is a big, strong, athletic quarterback, great mentality, great personality. He's a leader. He is a field general. I think he will be a very good NFL pro. Some things with him you got to work on as well, but because none of those guys come out perfect from college. But I think he's definitely in the conversation in the top 10 for sure. Most likely the top 4 or 5 if somebody trades up to get him. But he has all the tools and he looks like walking in the door. He looks like what you're looking for in an NFL quarterback.
Coach, always a great conversation with you. Thank you for the time. When's the last time you spoke with Andrew Luck?
We texted last week. He was doing some traveling. He was out of town. We spoke probably a month and a half ago. We always check in. I'll be checking in with him this weekend. But yeah, we keep in touch regularly.
Does he give you any good book recommendations or anything from his book club?
Is the book club still a thing?
Way too many book recommendations. I can't keep up. Yeah, I can't keep up. He's a special young man. He's got a high intellect and he loves to read and has the capacity to consume books at a higher rate than I do.
I mean, Chad and I we tuned in a little bit to the book club back in the day, and it was fascinating where his mind goes.
Dude, he is not just a football guy.
No.
That is for sure with Andrew Luck.
I'm guessing the conversation on the text was not about football.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Periodically, but mostly we talk about other things, our families, and his dad's busy into little things. He gives me an idea what his dad's doing, and we talk about a lot of different things. Every once in a while, we'll touch on football, but as you said, he has many more things that he's doing. He finished his grad work, so he's got an upper graduate degree as well. So he has a lot of varied interests.
The coach and the Leo. David Shaw has been our guest. Draft coverage coming up on NFL Network. How many hours, how much coverage are you a part of? Do you know?
So first AM, the pre-draft show on the West Coast is 1 to 4 p.m.
Okay.
And so we have 3 hours on Thursday, and I believe it's 2 hours before the show starts on Friday.
Rest up, man. It's going to be a long weekend, but a fun one.
We'll be watching.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Yep, there's David Shaw. Chad, he liked the idea of being mentioned for Commissioner of College Football. I don't blame him for wanting to turn that idea down. It's like the president of the NCAA. I don't know why anyone would accept that gig.
I do believe that if he was Commissioner of Pac-12, it would still exist.
Yes.
Knowing him and having listened to him, I think he would have kept it afloat.
I think many could have, you know?
Especially him.
Here we are. No doubt. Great guy. Great show today.
Fun show.
Thanks to all the guests for joining us. Hope you'll join us tomorrow, of course, 4 p.m. Eastern. But also, we have the draft show, the draft watch party coming up here at Outkick. Clay Travis will join us. We start at 8 p.m. Eastern, and it's going to be a blast. We'll react with you. You can join us in the chat on YouTube or at Outkick.com, Facebook, X, across the streaming platforms, Chad, as we like to say. But Chad will be back in the chat. He's excited about this.
The chat has been ready for me to return. I speak to the chat. The chat speaks to me, and I'll be speaking through the chat tomorrow night.
We will chat with all of you tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern, right here. Rob, my with Heather Withrow across the Outkick Network.